You're listening to Cross the Border. We're continuing our study in Acts here. We're at Acts chapter 21 and verse 20. And perhaps I should jump back. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought. So Paul arrives in Jerusalem. He meets James and the other disciples or apostles there. And he gives them a report. They glorify Yahuwah and said unto him, "Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous in the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore, the multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come." And so we still have there the contention of those that rise up. And no, Paul was not teaching in the synagogues that the Jews should not circumcise. He was teaching that the Gentiles coming to the faith and Messiah didn't need to be circumcised. Basically, that was it. And does that mean that, it's kind of, you know, I think the argument today is passe, pretty much myself, but it was something then. It was very important. It was something that if you were not circumcised, you were not allowed into the synagogue, and you certainly were not allowed in the temple. Absolutely not. They had temple guards there to make sure that no one got in who wasn't. So if they recognized you as a Greek or a foreigner, they would at least question you to see if you were the one who sojourns among, as Paul defended Timothy, saying that his mother was a Jewess, and he was circumcised so that he could enter into the synagogues with, and that's why Timothy was circumcised, so that he could enter in to the synagogues with Paul, and being mentored by Paul, a disciple of Paul. So, and he's now in Jerusalem, and they say, "What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that you are come. Do therefore this, that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take, and purify thyself with them, and be at charge with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they are informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written." Okay, now referring back to the epistle that they sent to the Gentiles, "we have written and concluded they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood," and there we go, "from idolatry." And another part says pollutions of idols, not allowing the idolatry and the statues and the celebration of pagan things to enter into the church, like Ashtaroth, Easter, and Christmas, and, you know, the winter solstice and Halloween and all of these other things, even though they call them by other names. They're still worshiping and allowing the pollution of them in. We're not to allow the pollution of them in. And when it's put in the phraseology, pollutions of idols, well, that's, that makes it a lot more stricter. Cause a lot of people say, well, we're gonna have, instead of Halloween, we're gonna have a harvest festival. But then they get and they do all the same things. They have the masks and the costumes and the candy, and they're just having a Halloween festival, just giving it another name. They're allowing the pollution in, and they're Christianizing it. And that's what the RCC, the Roman Catholic cult, did, is they or claims to have done. They Christianize all of their pagan idolatry so they could keep it, in other words, or to bring the pagans into the church. Yeah, that's right. Bring the pagans in. You allow them to bring their pollutions. You bring their idolatry in and allow it to pollute the congregation, to pollute the church. And so I said, don't do that. And these are the things. So we reiterate here that, therefore we say to thee, Okay, we believe, oh yeah, we've written and concluded in verse 25 of chapter 21 that they observed no such thing, speaking of circumcision, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols. So stay away from idolatry, the pollutions of idols, and from blood and things strangled, of course, referring to the law. And see, now if they say, keep yourself from idolatry, well, they had the word of God. They had the law of Moses, and that's where they would look to see what idolatry is, correct? Or they say, oh, well, idolatry is whatever we say it is. No, they look to the law to see what it is. That is what the Gentiles, the believers from the other nations do. Remember, they're like Bereans. Be a Berean. Search the scriptures daily to see that things are true. And of course, so they're searching the scriptures. They're going to find out, well, what is idolatry? They would look to the law of Moses to find out what idolatry is. And from things strangled, it says, and from blood. So referring to the dietary law, what does that mean? They go back to the law of Moses, they see the dietary law, and they go, oh, that's what it's about. And it says from fornication. Well, what does fornication refer to? Well, all forms of sexual immorality according to the law. That's the standard. The law is the standard. So these are pointers back to the law, the standard. Okay? We can't walk away from that. The only thing they're being relieved of here is circumcision. Says no such thing. We concluded that they observed no such thing. And then they go say, these are the things that, and of course we have the language from the earlier text in the book of Acts that the Holy Ghost, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. These are necessary, that they only do these necessary things. It is necessary for them, for their own health's sake, to abstain from, to follow the dietary law. It's necessary. Otherwise, they got to turn to pharmakia and allopathic medicine, and the witch doctors of this world, and to maintain their health. Maintain their health. Right. No, they maintain their sickness. That's what they do. So you get the idea. The standard is the law, and everything that's in this epistle that they wrote to them is pointing to the standard. Idolatry. What does the law say about idolatry? What does it say about the dietary laws? What does it say about fornication or sexual immorality? The law is the standard. And continuing in verse 26, then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Now, of course, they're referring to when he brought Timothy in. Of course, he followed the law when he brought Timothy in. Timothy had adopted the faith. He was a sojourner among. He adopted the faith more than most of these men because he accepted the Messiah of Israel. And also he was circumcised so that he could enter into the temple. But here they're going to bring this accusation that he brought a Greek in. Brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. So you see why Timothy was circumcised before he was brought in, so they couldn't bring this accusation against him. For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. So they supposed that he brought someone because he was hanging out with the Greeks in Trophimus. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. So here they got a religious question, you know, it'd be like you. If you went into the church and it got everyone in an uproar about someone in the church, and so you grab this guy, you pull him out of your church congregation, and you drag him to the city and you're going to kill him, And someone calls the police. That's the situation we have here. And immediately the policemen and the centurions ran down unto them, and when they saw the chief captain of the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. That means they stopped doing it, because what they were doing was assault, basically. They were assaulting someone, just as if the police came and you were beating someone, you might kind of leave off if you see the police cars coming. You got to leave off the beating, because you don't want to be implicated and thrown into jail for assault. So when the chief captain came near and they took him and commanded him to be bound with chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. You know, of course, Paul's the troublemaker. So they don't arrest the people that are beating him and dragging him, and they're going to arrest him and put chains on him, which for his own safety, perhaps. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not have known the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. Castle. there's our King James influence from the, you know, the whatever, 17th century, 1600s, they took him to the castle. No, they took him to the jail, right? They took him down to the police headquarters. There you go. So, just as Paul's, was prophesied, they took him and they bound him. He was bound to the Gentiles and, of the police there, the civil authority, in Rome being, of course, the Roman Empire, the head of the civil authority, and they take him and commanded him to be carried to the police station, here, the castle. And chapter 21, verse 35. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. So he was pretty well beat up, in other words. He couldn't walk. They had to carry him. That's what I mean. He was born of the police, or the soldiers, they say, for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him!" And Paul was to be led into the castle. He said to the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou an Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" Okay, I don't know what's going on here. Let me read that again. I kind of got lost there. Okay, so Paul is led up unto the chief captain, and as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said to the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, okay, the chief captain said, can you speak Greek? "Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" But Paul said, "I am not. I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." So Paul's asking him, he's basically saying, "No, I'm not the man you think I am." He says, "Can I speak to the people?" And so when he had given him license, permission, Paul stood on the stairs, so going up the stairs to the police station, and now he's at the top of the stairs, and he said, gets license or permission from the police captain there to speak to the people. And he stood on the stairs, he beckoned unto them with his hand unto the people, and when there was made a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, and that's where the chapter ends. Kind of funny place for a chapter to end, isn't it? Yes. "Men and brethren," chapter 22, verse 1, men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense. Now remember, he's speaking in Hebrew now. He was speaking in Greek to the cat. So Paul was pretty well versed in the languages of the empire. Being a Hebrew, of course, he speaks Hebrew. "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I now make unto you." And when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew. So he would say, I am Yahudi. I am one of the people of God called by his name, because that's what they were. That's what they were called, the Yahudim or the Yahudi. And we get that from the Hebrew itself, although I'm sure my accent in Hebrew is terrible when I try to say a word in Hebrew, but we got to get in the mind frame and the set of the scene. You know, Paul is on the top step of the police station, and the police captain who's taking him in probably protective custody because he was being beat to death, and he says, can I speak to the people? And the guy said, okay, well, go ahead, speak to him. Perhaps you can settle this whole issue right here and we can all go home tonight and I don't have to do all this paperwork or something like that. So he allows Paul to speak and he turns around and, of course, he speaks in perfect Hebrew. And so they keep even more silence. And he goes, I am verily a man, which am Yahudi. Says, I'm one of you, Hebrew brethren, the people of God called by his name, Yahuwah, Yahudi. Because they were the people called by his name. That's why they were called the Yahudi, or Yahudim. Born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as you all are this day. Yeah, you're so zealous that you're trying to kill me. He said, I was that zealous too, because I was trying to kill people too. So he could really relate to these people that are trying to kill him, because he had that same kind of zealousness when he pursued the people of the way before his conversion on the Damascus Road. So he says, and was zealous towards God as you all are this day, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. And also the high priest, both doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Yahshua of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And when they were with me, saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise, go to Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And of course, they weren't speaking in King James English. They were speaking in Hebrew. He was speaking in Hebrew. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. So he's saying, I was blinded and couldn't see. The light blinded me. It was so bright. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And that same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Of course, speaking of Yeshua the Messiah, risen from the dead and appearing to Paul on the Damascus Road. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And of course, he would be saying, calling on the name of Yahuwah. Because remember, he's speaking in Hebrew here. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying to me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat, that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of the thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto his word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, and it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out, they cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. And the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle. So they aren't going to receive his word. Paul tries to reason with them and preach to them the gospel, and they just get angry and say, Away with him. And so the chief captain, he commands him to be brought into the jail, and they bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof they cried so against him. And because the captain's having a little hard time understanding what is going on here. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? See, Paul had rights as a Roman citizen, so he's going to call on those rights as a Roman citizen. And when the centurion heard that, to save him from a scourging anyway. I mean, the poor guy's been beaten and thrown out of cities and enough already. So he pulls out his Roman citizenship card, so to speak, and puts a stop to that. And so the centurion, when he heard that, he told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what you do, for this man is a Roman. And then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, Yes. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum I obtained this freedom. And Paul said, But I was free born. And then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him, and that means scourged him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. Yes, the Roman citizen had rights. And he didn't want to get in trouble for violating his rights. So he had a little fear. And on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. And we're going to pick up next time on Cross the Border in chapter 23. And we'll get into Paul addressing his accusers. Well, as always, in everything you say and everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.